I want to look to share some stuff today on strongholds and some different aspects of strongholds, and how those strongholds outwork in us. Hopefully I can get this thing working. We've looked at this before. You know, when God speaks, Amos 3:7, he does nothing without revealing his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Because when God speaks, he wants us to come into agreement with what he says. So when he says things like this, he speaks out so that we can come into agreement. When he speaks, when people prophesy the word of God out, we have an opportunity to resonate. We talked about resonance in that these two frequencies coming together. And when God speaks, his voice starts to vibrate, and we have an opportunity of coming together at the sound of his voice. God speaks in dreams and visions and revelations. He speaks in prophecy and impressions. And when he speaks in that way, it gives us an opportunity to see what he's saying, to hear what he's saying, and to say yes. Because God wants us to say yes always to him. Never no. And how many people have said no to God? Come on, be honest. It's like, you know, when we say no to God, I tell you what, it doesn't work. When we say yes to God, it's never easy, necessarily easy, but it works because God's word is true. When God speaks and we agree and we resonate with him, faith comes, spirit to spirit. Our spirit and his spirit come together, and they join together to produce a harmony which releases faith and releases God to move. God created the universe through thought. Thought is light. If you can imagine what goes on inside your head when you have thoughts, if you have seen pictures of it on the TV, little sparks of electricity go all over your brain when you're thinking, and they give out waves beyond outside of your brain too. And God created the universe through thought, light, and word. So light and sound are frequencies, things. Now, when I was on my visions in heaven, and I went to heaven, God spoke to me a lot and showed me things about creation and how he created things. And there's a picture there on the screen, painted by a little girl when she was, I think, something like 6 or 7 years old. She went to heaven, and she continues to go to heaven and paint awesome things. I saw that. There's a wave. That wave there that's going around is a wave of God's voice vibrating out through the universe in creation, causing things to come into being. And God spoke to me while I was there, and he showed me some of these things, and he spoke to me about words, about resonance, frequency, wavelengths, harmony, about grace. And it's like I didn't totally understand it. And in one sense, I almost thought, what is he on about? Because, you know, I'm a scientist. I come from a scientific background, biochemistry. So I've got an understanding of certain things. But the things he was showing me were beyond my own understanding. And there's a picture there of what goes on, not just in the outward universe, but in the inner universe within us. Vibrating strands of his voice still operating today, keeping the whole universe together. Now, I saw pictures like that. I would love to be able to paint and do things like that girl can, but she has an enormous gift given to her to be able to paint things like that at 6-7 years old. And it's like she's done loads and loads of paintings. She's painted a picture of Jesus, which is exactly how I saw Jesus in heaven. It was exactly how I saw him. And she's been to heaven and she saw Jesus in the same way. It's called Akiane. I've mentioned it before. You can find stuff on the internet about what she's done. So it's really important that we understand how God does what he does, because he wants us to join in. So, in some senses, it's like modern technology and advances in technology appear to make it seem that we're getting smarter and smarter and more intelligent. But Solomon once said, as a wise man, Ecclesiastes, what has been done will be done again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything which one can say, look, there is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time, because it was in the heart of God. Everything has always been in the heart and thoughts of God. Everything about us, everything about his call of our lives, has always been in the heart of God. And God has spoken those things into being, into our very core of who we are. We need to discover them. When Jesus was here, Jesus spoke to us in parables, and he spoke in terms that the people at the time could understand. And in John 3:11, he's talking to Nicodemus. He says, "Truly I say to you," we speak, and he was talking about himself and the Holy Spirit and the Father, because he spoke for all of them. "We speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen." So Jesus was speaking about things he knew, things he had seen, even before time began. And he started to speak them out. And of course Nicodemus didn't really understand even the natural things. He says, "If I told you earthly things," because he said about being born again, and he didn't understand how you could be born again spiritually, "and you do not believe, how you will believe when I tell you heavenly things?" So there are heavenly things in the realms of heaven that Jesus wants to reveal that there are no earthly parallels for. And these are some of the things that God is revealing in these days. There are also things that now we have parallels for that they didn't have then. So some of the parables Jesus would have used today would have not been fishermen and seeds and sowing. There would have been Stargate and Star Wars and all sorts of other things which actually speak about things which have now a perspective which we can understand. John 16:12, Jesus said, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." They wouldn't have been able to understand what we can understand today, because God is prophesying and speaking out fresh revelation and new things that we now have an understanding of. John 16:13, "When he," the Spirit of truth, "comes, he will guide you into" how much truth? All truth. So is he going to hold anything back of the truth from us? No. So there's a possibility of us knowing all truth that there is to know for us in this time and place, for what we need to do in this generation for our lives. He will not speak of his own initiative, but what he hears he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week in terms of how that happens, how we can get the future into the present, how he can tell us things which have not yet happened, but this is what Jesus said he was going to do. The Holy Spirit was going to reveal to us things that were to come. And it's really important that we be able to hear and listen to the things, because they will be our destiny. They will be the things that are in already written about us, the thoughts he has for us that he wants to reveal to us, to show us who we are and to reveal to us our identity as his sons, fully knowing the things that he knows. Jesus wants us to know all the truth and not to have things that are hidden from us. He's hidden things for us, not from us. And he wants us to discover the things that have been hidden. Now, why is this sort of quantum stuff important? And some of you think, "I really don't understand any of this." If you don't, it's okay. We will explain it in the future. But I want you to get hold of something, that what God has set up in creation is still going on today. And we need to understand, if we're going to do the things that he did, we need to be able to do them the way he did them. And he had an understanding of this stuff. That's why he's revealing it to us. So it's important, because God is revealing it to prophets today. All over the world, God is speaking prophetically and revealing fresh, new things, because he wants us to have an understanding today, so we can see what he's doing and be able to do what he's doing. Because God wants us to do what he's doing. Jesus only did what he see the Father doing. He wants us to see. Therefore, we need to start seeing in a different way. We need to train our senses to pick up and detect the things that Jesus picked up and detected. He could go and determine what was in someone's heart. He said, "I know what you're reasoning in your heart. Why are you doing it?" Those same things God wants to reveal to us today, so we can do the things that Jesus did. So we can live and operate in dual realms. We are spirit and body, and we need to operate spirit and body. Greek thinking, which has invaded the whole church in the Western world and the Western society in general, separates everything up. It divides things, religious and secular, spiritual, physical, heaven, earth. It divides them all. But Jesus didn't have Greek thinking. He had Hebrew thinking. He had a mindset and a worldview which was holistic. Everything works together. He wants us to see that and operate in that so that we can operate in heaven and earth at the same time. And again, we'll explain in the future how we can do that. Operate in here in a natural world, but also operating supernaturally. Spirit and body, physical and spiritual, all flowing together in unity. Because when we come together in unity, there is a blessing. So anytime there's separation, there's no blessing. So if we're separate from heaven and earth, then the blessing is blocked. When we come together in heaven and earth, the blessing is released. When our physical body and our spiritual body come together, there's blessing released. Whenever there's separation, and that separation can be in our thinking, it can be in the way we think and feel, the way we actually think about things, then it causes blockages. And God wants blockages removed. Strongholds are blockages. They stop the life of God being released. To be able to fulfill our destinies and do the works and greater works of Jesus, we need to know and understand. When I spoke to Jesus one-on-one on things, I asked him questions about how he did some of the miracles he did. And he answered me and told me how he did it. Now, I know how it's done. That doesn't necessarily know I know how to do it myself totally, but actually I'm working towards that. Some things I do. Some things he's going to teach us how to do the things he did. And it's really important that we actually get hold of it. So Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So God prepared everything that we see, the whole world, the whole universe, by his word. That's why it's so important that we hear his word and we start to agree and resonate with his word. So that what is visible was made out of things which are invisible. Now, the whole quantum world is invisible. It's stuff we can't see with our natural eyes, but we can start to see with our spiritual eyes. And our hearts can be open to understand the things that God is doing. God used faith substance and word energy to create the universe. He spoke, and the vibration sound of his words caused and released substance that became stars, planets, and everything. Now, this is something which I think God spoke to me, and I didn't understand this when he spoke to me about it, and when he showed me it in those sort of pictures of those dimensions. Subatomic particles are made up of superstrings, tiny donut-shaped packets of energy, which he called grace, divine ability, that spin at a frequency or sing as in a pitch. Our whole bodies and the whole universe is singing. It has a song, a vibration, a frequency, which needs to come back into harmony with heaven, because it's out of sync with heaven. Because heaven has a frequency. It's like God hits a tuning fork in heaven, and he wants us to come into the same pitch, to start singing with the same frequency. Because heaven and earth, when Satan fell, Satan was the light bearer and the leader of all the sound and music in heaven. He was involved in creation as the light bearer and the sound giver. And when he fell, he took whole bandwidths of sound and light with him out of creation. God wants to restore it into wholeness. That's why it's important that we understand these things, because we need to understand how the grace of God works. Strings, I'm not going to explain this very well, but if you look at the mathematical formula of a string theory and why strings are part of the whole creation, it only works mathematically, and this is what they've proven, if there are hidden dimensions which cannot be seen. So scientists are basically saying there are dimensions which we cannot see, but we know they must be there because that's the only way string theory works, if there are dimensions. Now, we know there are dimensions. Heaven, earth, we know the second heaven, third heaven, there's the under the earth. There are different dimensions which we know are created, the dimension of the spiritual and unseen realm, which have to exist for this theory to work. And we know they exist. And God is revealing it. Words are powerful. Now, you've heard today how powerful words can be in people's lives. Anson's testimony of his name, and the name that we have is so important. What we believe about ourselves, what we've heard about ourselves, is so important. Words are extremely powerful because God created the whole universe through words. He holds the universe together through words, through those things. Colossians 1:17, He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The whole of creation, what we see and what we don't see, is held together by the power of his words. Hebrews 1:3. He upholds things by the word of his power. That everything we see, literally our whole being, if he stopped speaking and thinking about us, we would cease to exist. Because he never stops thinking and speaking about us. Because he loves us. Now, the power of words. I want to give you some scriptures. These relate to how strongholds work in our lives and how we can counteract strongholds. Because, you know, we can cancel frequencies that have been spoken and said by our own words. Things that have been said, we can cancel. Now, we can cancel it. I was listening to a tape yesterday, or an MP3 yesterday morning, and it talked about this, how this works. And this guy said I could put two speakers sort of opposite each other, and I'll play a note through it, let's say a C or something, through the speakers, and it will play. Both speakers will play. If I reverse the polarity of one wire of the speaker, the other, and put them out of phase, and you play the same thing through both speakers, you'll hear nothing. Because one is pushing and the other is pulling, and it cancels out the sound. So when we come in doubt and unbelief, and someone is coming in faith to pray for us, it can cancel out faith. Now, sometimes somebody's faith can be stronger than your doubt, and faith can win out. But when you come together in agreement, when your faith and someone else's faith comes together, this is what happened when Jesus went around and said, "Your faith has made you whole." He looked and saw faith in operation. When our faith joins together, there is a multiplication of power. What takes place? It says in the Old Testament, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. So if you think that is a tenfold increase when two come together, what happens when three come together, or four, or five, or 50, or 100? When we come together in agreement, there is power. We can change the atmosphere of a place. We can cancel things that have been spoken and taken place in a place, because we have power and authority to do it when we come together. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What we say has powerful consequences. What has been said about us may still have powerful consequences. It's what curses are about and blessings are about. We can bless with the tongue, we can curse with the tongue. It's a really important thing. It's Proverbs 4:12. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them and health to their body. Literally, words can speak health to our bodies. So if we're agreeing with positive words, the words that God has spoken about us and for us, it can literally bring health to our bodies. Now, we know this is true. Even doctors know this is true. They know that people who suffer from depression and negativity about themselves can literally make their physical body sick by what they're feeling and thinking in their mind. We know it works. We know people who have negative thoughts and they feel negatively about themselves, who worry and are anxious in their emotions, can literally cause physical ulcers to come in their stomach and in their body. We know negative things can cause negative things physically to take place. But we need to be able to undo negative things that have been said and to bring positive things into our physical bodies. This is what happens when we listen to the words of God and we agree with them. It brings health to our bodies. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but anger is rottenness to the bones. Literally, how we feel can affect our physical state. This is how God has created it to be. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. These are things that are spoken by Solomon, who is a man of wisdom. These things still apply and work today. Nehemiah 8:10, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Grief can literally cause us to die on the inside. Jesus said he came to carry our griefs and our sorrows. He does not want us to be carrying our grief on our own and our sorrows on our own. He wants to bear the load, to cast our burdens on the Lord, because he cares for us. Literally, that will bring healing to us. It can literally bring healing, bring strength to our lives. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. As you think about yourself, as you feel about yourself, it will literally become outworked in your life. This is how powerful words, thoughts, and emotions are to us. And God wants us to be free from the things that are holding us back. I want to just read a few things here just to put it in context. When God spoke, all the frequencies of his glory were manifested. The cosmos, everything became. The tiniest vibrating superstring that caused the singing of the atoms that make up the 103 elements. There are a few more that they've discovered by crushing atoms together. All the way through everything that you see out through the Hubble telescope. And if you've seen Hubble's telescope pictures, they're fantastic pictures of the whole universe and the cosmos. Everything is there because of the vibrating frequencies of Jesus' voice. Still, his voice is vibrating through the universe. All matter has memory. Your words and your actions are being recorded. Literally, in the very fabric of the stuff that's around us, within our own physical body, those strings that are vibrating hear and see light, and it literally starts to vibrate in our bodies. We record material. Now, we know that's true. We know it's true in the think of, if you think of CDs, memory sticks, DVDs, physical stuff literally has stuff recorded on it. And we don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem thinking that a piece of metal can have stuff stored on it that can be played back. Used to be a piece of tape with magnetic stuff on it, was recorded and played back. But think of it in terms of everything around you, where you are, and you yourself becomes a recorder that records everything spoken. That's why words are so important and what we do. Joshua 24:27 actually says that. Joshua said to the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness unto us. Literally, the stones heard everything that was said. Now, is that true? Well, Jesus said in Luke 19:40, the stones would cry out. Well, what were they going to cry out? Stuff that were recorded in them. Habakkuk 2:11, for the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Now, literally, we think, well, those are just metaphorical statements. But actually, what if they're true? If they're true, it has a lot of consequences. Because there are places that we know, when you go into, you get a bad vibe off. Now, where's that bad vibe coming from? The stuff which is stored and vibrating within the place itself. There are places that are cursed. The ground is cursed, it says in the Old Testament, lots of times. The very place that was spoken curses, they're in the ground, in the place. And when you go there, you can feel them. It's like demons are drawn to those places. There are some dark places around the world that demonic things are forced. Why? Because the demonic things were done there, demonic things were spoken. So when we go into a house, when we go into a new place, what do? Pray. Yeah, start cancelling the things that already exist in those places. We anoint them with oil. We start pronouncing blessings over places that we go in. When you go into a place, within you, when you touch the doorknob of a place, literally you can impart a blessing. What you speak and what you think and how you are changes the atmosphere of a place. And actually, sometimes we need to go and change the atmosphere of a place by the words we speak. That's why we go out and wave flags and banners and we shout and we sing and we do place things in places at times, because we're taking the truth of God's word and we're cancelling things that are done in places. Now, if you sort of get hold of this principle, it will change what you say on a daily basis. And if you start to train your senses to pick up the vibrations that are going on in people and in things around you, we can start to understand the spiritual dynamics that are happening. CD memory sticks have said all light and sound is recorded as vibrations at those subatomic levels. So memories can reside in things, places, and in us. That's why when people speak things over us, we have to cancel and not agree with those words that are spoken. People speak blessings over us, we need to agree and cement those things in our lives. The problem is when people speak blessings and our stronghold says cursings, we don't receive it. There's a battle that goes on to what we're going to believe. Someone says, I love you, and your inside says, no one loves me, I'm not worthy to be loved. That's what a stronghold does. But we can cancel the frequencies of those strongholds and see them broken by the power of God's word, and I'll share that, how it works. So strongholds are recorded in our subconscious, in our memory, within neural pathways that form in our brain, and in our DNA. Now, this is probably another step beyond what most of you have heard before, but I want to explain how these work. Strongholds, therefore, are words, can be actions, can be feelings, behavior, that are formed into beliefs and mindsets and thinking patterns and points of view that we hold, our worldview. They're formed by constant repetition, like over and over and over, like a dripping tap. You know, you can form a stalactite just by drip, 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 drip. And eventually it forms something which actually sticks. So in our lives, things, feelings, emotions, words can be spoken time and time again over us. Or trauma can happen to us, where something happens traumatically that can form a stronghold in an instant when we've been hurt, damaged severely. They form in the subconscious, in our heart. Now the Word of God talks about our heart like soil. It talks about having stones in our heart. If you think of the parable of the sower, it says there are stones, rocks in our heart. Literally the memories of things that have been said and done. Now, those stop the word taking root. They're strongholds. It says the word cannot form a root because there are these stones that stop it. So therefore, matter has memory, and you can change everything that's been recorded by what you observe, by the words you declare, and by the curses you remove and release in the name of Jesus. You can change your whole life by changing what you say and agreeing with the resonance of God's word, and change what is written on your very DNA. Now I want to explain how this works. In your brain, okay, you've got your left and right half. We talked about left and right half brief people. Your brain receives, okay, everything. Every bit of information that you see, smell, taste, touch goes through into your brain. And it is billions of pieces of information. Most of it we don't retain because it's not relevant. Okay? The hippocampus is the part of the brain which is the storage machine and shredder. It shreds irrelevant information. It works at 100 billion instructions a second. If you had to form a computer to operate that, it would be something like a story high over the whole of Texas. That's how big the computer would need to operate at that level. So when we see things and we're taking in information both physically and spiritually all the time, we just don't necessarily record it because most of it is irrelevant. It's like, you know, if I was to ask you what pattern this carpet is without looking at it, you might be able to sort of say, well, it's sort of bluey. Now, I know exactly what the pattern is. It's three little dots repeated at different angles all over it. I know that because I spent my face on it quite a bit of time and I've seen it. So it's been repeated. So what happens, that information goes in. Now I want to talk about how strongholds form. So let's say rejection. We'll look at the stronghold of rejection. We could have looked at fear or insecurity or worry or doubt or any other thing, but we'll look at rejection because most of us understand rejection at some level. So we hear words of rejection in our life. We experience rejection emotionally. We feel rejected by people. They may not love us, affirm us, give us what we need in life. So we feel rejected by them. That information goes in. Now, actually, if it happens once, it may not get stored as a memory. If it happens over and over and over, by repetition, the hippocampus says, this must be valuable, this must be important, because I've heard it over and over again. It's like if you go into a room, into a building you've never been in before, okay, and the lights go out, you've got no idea how to get out of that building because you've never been there. Nothing has been recorded because it's the first time. If you go into a building over and over again, you work there every single day of your life, and the lights go out, you could get out of that building because recorded is what that building looks like. You know where things are. You never thought about it, but because you went there over and over again, it was valuable information. And that information gets stored. The hippocampus says, important, I'll store it in the memory banks. So in our memory banks, rejection can be stored if it happens over and over again. So we start to have memories, stones, if you like, of rejection in our memory banks. Now, if we then start to confess and agree and repeat that ourselves, we come into agreement with that, we start feeling rejected, saying, well, I'm no good, no one likes me, all the type of things that we say, when we come into agreement, things start to happen. What happens is the literal synapses in our brain close and form neural pathways that link to those memories. This literally physically happens. When you actually repeat something over and over again, it gets stored, and a link in your brain forms a pathway to that storage so you can remember it. That's what a neural pathway is. It's a pathway to memories which are remembered because they happen over and over again and they form. Then trauma can be introduced to our experience and form instant pathways. For instance, people who were going to be aborted as a child and their parents were talking about abortion. Those words can literally form pathways in a person even before they were born to be open to rejection. Sometimes when people almost miscarry, when people are put up for adoption, when they're rejected by their natural parents, that trauma can set up instant pathways. Now sometimes trauma can actually form pathways around those memories to stop us remembering them. Where literally when people have such traumatic experiences like satanic ritual abuse, severe abuse, they literally dissociate the memories for somebody else. Multiple personalities can form because those memories cannot be remembered. Literally that takes place. But when those synapses form and those links form, automatic responses start to happen. We automatically respond to things around us rejected. Sometimes people don't reject us, we just feel rejected no matter what. Defense mechanisms start to form to protect us from feeling rejected. And we form pathways of behavior. Now demons can occupy behavior patterns when we start acting that way over and over again. I was praying about this yesterday and God told me that sometimes people have fruit in rejection which is like an orange, which is sweet. In other words, their defense mechanisms are, I will never cause anybody to reject me. I'll never confront anyone. I'll always say yes. I'll never do anything to be rejected. So they're such sweet-natured people because they fear rejection in such a way. Other people become a fruit like lemons, sour and bitter, because they keep people at arm's length. They're prickly. They put up the barriers. I'm not going to be rejected, so I'll reject you first. I'll keep you away from me because you're not going to hurt me. They're defense mechanisms and behavior patterns that come because of strongholds in our thinking. Now all this stuff happens, how do we deal with it? Well, at this end, we deal with it by forgiveness, breaking the links to the past and what people did to reject us by releasing forgiveness, by repentance, where we've operating in these things, we repent and turn from it. By renunciation, we renounce the words that we've spoken in agreement to rejection. We renounce those things. So we hit it with a sledgehammer of truth. We have prayer and ministry for deliverance. If there are demons behind our behavior, last week when I was praying for demolishing strongholds, demons were behind most of them. I wasn't expecting that, but there was an anointing to reveal what was behind the behavior, and therefore people had deliverance. We bring the blood of Jesus against those memories to wipe them clean. We speak the truth that God works. So there's at this end we deal with it, but also at the other end, when the filters that form, we have to remove those filters, because a filter is like a red screen. Like when you wear red glasses, you look at the world, everything appears red. We can have filters of rejection so that when we look at the world around us, everything feels like rejection. It isn't necessarily true, but it feels like it because we've got filters in place. We have to remove those filters. So we start to bring the truth into it. We need to break the old neural pathways by prayer and renunciation and stuff. So we break those pathways. And literally, when we renew our mind, the old pathways are broken open and are released to be used again. They don't just stay there. We need to break those pathways completely so they're not linked to the memories anymore. So we deal with the memories. We actually break the pathways. And then we create new pathways. We start to put in the truth. We meditate and think about the truth. We speak the truth. We confess the truth. We get the scriptures of God's word about we're accepted, we're loved. All the positive things about how Jesus loves us and treats us and affirms us as his children, as being sons of God, as being inheritors of the promises. We get hold of that truth. We start confessing that truth. As we do that, the rejection gets broken. The stronghold gets removed. Conscience takes place of filters, so that now our conscience guides what we hear and see and smell. We no longer are going to receive things which are negative about ourselves, because our conscience is going to tell us, no, that's not you. You're a son of God. You're not a rejected person. You don't need to be rejected any longer. Literally, things change because new pathways form to new memories of truth that we put in our hearts. We hide the word in our heart. By speaking it, by meditating on it and confessing it, so it forms a new pathway. Does that make sense? Well, that's how God wants us to break these things. So yes, we can get prayer, but we need prayer and we need to put the truth in to demolish those things. And we need to stop agreeing with the things that have been spoken over us negatively. This is where we've got to challenge ourselves not to agree, not to say negative things about ourselves. Because when we do, we reinforce the strongholds that are already there. So what happens then? We get acceptance and love and affirmed. We start to be led by the Spirit. We start to walk in the light. Because things change. We start to line up with what God says about ourselves. So that's your head. With all sorts of thoughts going on, that is a neuron. What happens? That is literally an electron microscope of neural pathways being formed. Literally there, they're actually forming pathways, joining together, forming pathways. That's what a neural pathway looks like, with thoughts, light, going down the pathways to the memories, and those memories going back. It links the conscious to the subconscious. But we can break those things and renew them and have new pathways of truth. I think I'll finish there because if I go into program, we'll do it. I'll be here for another quarter of an hour, at least. but I do want to talk about programmable DNA because it does indicate how things get stored within our physical body, all right? So just think, now today, you've got an opportunity to align yourself with the truth of what God says. Stop agreeing with what the enemy says about you. Don't let strongholds of pride and things like that get in the way of your breakthroughs. It's like, because those things are just the way we've caused defense mechanisms to rise up to say, I'll do this my own way. I'll protect myself. I'll keep people away, or I'll do this and that. At the end of the day, Jesus said, surrender. Give in. Give in, surrender. Allow me to heal you, restore you, make you whole. By saying, you can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it your own way. You've got to do it his way. Amen? So I'll open it up for those who, Chris, in terms of what the words he brought earlier, in terms of if you want prayer or ministry, we'll just pray. Let me just pray and release the Holy Spirit to start working in our hearts and lives. And if you need prayer, if you want someone to stand with you in agreement, to break lies, or you need to repent and renounce words that you've spoken over yourself today, today's the day to do it. And let someone hear that, speak it out to them, so that they can agree with you that those words are going to be broken. They can cancel the frequencies that are set up in you that keeps perpetuating these negative things so that you can be free. Amen? Father, we just thank you that you love us, that we are accepted in you, that we are your children, that you've spoken words over us and for us before the foundation of the world, that you have a destiny, that we would be your sons and daughters conformed to the image of Jesus. And Lord God, today we'll just pray your Holy Spirit will be released to convict us and show us of any negative words, any negative feelings, every mindset, defense mechanism, behavior pattern that we've adopted to defend and operate around a stronghold. Lord God, we want to come and say we open up our hearts and lives to allow your Spirit, your truth, to completely cancel the frequencies of the words that have been spoken, the things that have happened to us, the memory banks can be blotted out, the pathways can be broken as we receive your truth, that we can be delivered and set free. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll release an anointing to set us free. Cause us to repent, renounce, and turn away from those negative ways of thinking and acting, and Lord, start to focus on the truth of what you say, of who we are as your children, of the blessings, that we're accepted and loved, that we don't need to fear because you're with us, that you love us. So I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, just move in our midst, open up our hearts, remove those stones, those memories, bring healing, help us to forgive and release those who've hurt us and damaged us, so that we're not tied to our past, but we're open to a new future. Just release that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if anyone does need prayer, want someone to stand with them, I'd encourage you to come and just allow people to pray with you.